Your patience at the session. Actually, as a board member of ILN, who has been involved since the beginning, it's also my great pleasure to have the achievements, to see the achievements of ILN as an independent civil organization who insists on these activities. This is not an easy task, actually, and thanks for the ILN team to trying to keep a high brand for Islam and Liberty Network for these intellectual activities. Since I have the floor, I have one last remark. I would like to send my thoughts and prayers to late Ms. Linda Whetstone, who has really supported Islam and Liberty Network and tried to understand the needs of the Muslim world, the intellectual needs, requirements of the Muslim world, and she did her best to support the intellectual world for the Muslim world, as well as to contribute to a better understanding of non-Muslim world, or let's say so-called Western world, to create constructive approaches. So sending my thoughts and prayers. So we have in this conference, we have talked twice about Turkey. So I would like to, make you think about two or three issues, so as not to make repeated remarks. I would like to be as quick as possible. Thanks to Dr. Mesut, in the first session, he made some remarks about the ambiguity about liberty. I would like to make you think about the relation between liberty and the institutions of democracy when we are talking about the applications of some countries, the challenges that some countries has experienced, which I can talk about Turkey. You know, usually democracy in our country, in popular culture, it is the case. Democracy is used on behalf of liberty. Actually, it is the individual liberty, in essence, covering the right to life. We can change liberty and property. And there are civil liberties, religious freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of association, deriving from individual liberty. And they can be enjoyed in a liberal democratic system. As you see, those fundamental institutions of a liberal democratic system, private property-based market economy, should not be forgotten in the end for a liberal democracy. So democracy in a pale form is mostly used in literature. However, it is clearly liberal democracy. People hesitate to use liberal in front of democracy, but we mean liberal democracy where the individual, the real minority, is protected. So freedom can be secured, can thrive in a liberal democracy. On the other hand, can also be challenged by majoritarianism. Democracy is a redistributive system, so democracy is under risk of populism and rent economy. We can discuss afterwards or after this presentation. Even established democracies, for instance, Western countries, are under such risks. Before organizing this conference, we were discussing with Ali whether we should cover populism or not. My stance was that populism has not been the real focus at this stage for our countries, but still it is a risk and a problem. However, mostly the modern Western countries are under risk of populism in terms of protecting liberty, I mean, of course. And also, particularly European countries, established democracies are under the risk of heavy growing regulations. So any liberal democratic system should have a dominance over intelligence bureaucracy to keep it responsible and accountable. As a liberal democrat, I would prefer the intelligence bureaucracy to be responsible, accountable to the elected government, so that I can keep it accountable and change it if there are problems. This is important, and also next to the intelligence bureaucracy, military bureaucracies are important, armed bureaucracies are important. This is the case both for the established democracies and also less established democracies. Elected governments should have the superiority over both the intelligence bureaucracy as well as over the armed bureaucracy. This should be clear, quite clearly defined. There could be crisis times where the equity, the balance between civil and military is examined. So this should be in favor of civil political elected governments, political legitimacy at these critical examination times. So an open competitive system, you can continue, in politics, civil life is crucial to protect our freedoms. Otherwise, the system becomes very fragile to the influence and dominance of bureaucratic organizations and established independent centralized collectivist groups. They might not be within the bureaucracy, they might be dominant in other places, but anyhow, if we have these democratic institutions strong, such unlawful collectivist groups would not infuse in the system. I am not here, of course, talking about a democratic civil system where civil society has the ability to infuse and to influence the political system somehow democratically. Decentralize the system and with the demands affecting the system. This is not what I am talking about. I am talking about illegal, illegitimate effect of collectivist groups over the democratic governments. So Turkey has been considered, we have talked, as a model for some time by the Muslim countries. Via complying Islam with democracy, even if it was not a great model, it was really pleasing. A political party who had been known as a religious conservative party. I would not say Islamist actually, because particularly Erdogan's group had differed from the earlier party as being a more modernist reformist group. And they also preferred themselves to call as conservative democrats. Still, I would not say Islamist to the earlier party as well. I can tell they were not that they were not fundamentalist, open to change. Anyway, so a religious conservative political party saying Islamist is an orientalist approach, by the way. That means they are Muslim. They are not Christian. So they are Islamist. But we should find some kind of political identity position. They are a religious conservative party, leaning from being more statist, being more liberal, waving from one to the other. So I would say, one country could not be a good example for other countries. Every country has her own cultures, features, history. But on the other hand, you hear different sides of the commentaries. One would find all the responsibilities of the faults on Erdogan and his government. The others would praise the government up on the hill. This is not easy. This is not fair to understand all the problems or all the achievements at all. So we need to find reasonable arguments and multi arguments to understand. So and before this, yes, in the yesterday's presentations, my colleagues, Dr. Bijan and Mustafa Acar, mentioned about the foundation of Turkish Republic. Turkish Republic founded in 1923, and we had single party system until 1950. So when Republic was founded, we were not a multi-party democracy. Until 1955, we had a single party regime. CHP was leading that. Why I am emphasizing this? Because CHP still keeps that mentality behind, as if it is the safeguard of the regime, as if it is the extension of the system, safeguard of the official ideology. So Turkey shifted in 1950 to a multi-party system, and in the formation of the republic, there had been three pillars, nationalism, statism, and secularism, I can say. Whenever any political party came up making some reforms, they had been accused of being traitors, and traitor of these three pillars. So we had, my colleagues mentioned, military coup in 1960 and 1980. Through this military coup, a bureaucratic tutelage system had been established, and the political field had been very limited. Presidency, higher courts, they had been the safeguards of the regime. So whenever they tried to make a reform, they had been, what happened, they had been surrounded by these institutions. So AKP had challenged this. AKP challenged this, we can talk about it. My colleagues divide AKP periods into 2013. To some extent, it might make sense. Those are the Gezi protests. But after 2013, there had been important reforms, military reforms, military courts had been removed. And there are so many, okay, I can see that. There had been so many important reforms. But on the other hand, taking the constituency behind, that is how happened. Erdogan and AKP government initiated peace resolutions, started talks with PKK. So this is morally very important and superior. First time in Turkey's history, a government makes attempts about Kurdish issue, confronts with the problems in the past, and started talks with Alevite opinion leaders, and also made excuses against Armenians, and also gave back the private properties on non-Muslims. So you can imagine what a big challenge this towards the established ideas. This is not a matter of being in place in favor of Erdogan or AK Party. I would like to try to make the challenge of a democratic political party. So people of Turkey had struggled with the elitist, modernist, positivist attitude of CHP, and even if CHP has not been in power, these bureaucratic institutions. That is why people, constituency, favor an opposition line. So in the recent elections, what happened? Erdogan's government made big mistakes, the economy is awful, but we had this earthquake, the government had responded still with many failures quickly, and developed so many projects. Still there are many problems within the parties, many problems within the etc. And I should say, constituents make comparative analysis. Unfortunately, we need an opposition in a democracy. The opposition should also support democracy, prepare proposals, and be an alternative. Unfortunately, CHP also provoked the Syrian immigrants in Turkey and introduced them as a big threat to the regime. Thanks to the constituency, they did not buy this argument. We can go to the final issue. So I would like to emphasize the importance of middle classes, of civil people, who would be the actual safeguards of a democratic system. We should continue. There are always challenges to our systems, to our liberal democratic systems. Thanks for listening. That's over there, 0-0.